16. Madame Angelique's Townhouse and the Temple, City of Zion, the Temple Lands. Abraham Jevons gazed into the mirror at his hazel eyes and brown hair. There was a faint, very faint, family resemblance to Merlin Athrawis and Nemu Albon, he thought. Something about the lips that he hadn't managed to randomize as much as he'd intended. He wondered if his subconscious had been responsible for that, or if it was simply a quirk in the Pika software which had carried over. Prior to her cybernetic reincarnation, Nemu had never been particularly interested in the software which allowed a Pika's appearance to be modified at will. She'd been more interested in its applications for extreme sports. For that matter, she'd never really wanted a Pika at all. It had been a gift from her wealthy father. She simply hadn't had the heart to turn down. So she was nowhere near as well versed in the cosmetic aspects of her current physical avatar as she might have been, and it was possible something in its software might have been responsible for the carryover. Sure it could have been, Abraham thought sardonically, but it wasn't. You know that perfectly well, Merlin. It was odd, he thought, turning away from the mirror. He still thought of himself as Merlin, rather than as Nemu or Abraham. Probably because that was who he'd been for the last few years. Or possibly because he'd finally accepted that Nemu was dead and he was someone else entirely. Or possibly again, simply because he needed a single identity upon which to hang his sense of personhood if he wasn't going to go completely off the deep end. Which might also explain that little glitch about the lips. Well, no one's going to notice anyway, even if they've seen both Abraham and Merlin, he told himself. Not once Merlin regrows his mustache and his beard, at any rate. He looked out the window of his hotel room. It was snowing again. It did a lot of that here in Zion, and he wondered once more if the Archangel's choice of the city's site had been made solely to make the mystically maintained internal comfort of the temple even more impressive to those who beheld it. More probably, though, he'd decided, the original decision to put the colony's planetary HQ in this particular spot had been made because the climate was so bad it was likely to discourage the low-tech colonists and their descendants from settling in the area. Back before the destruction of the Alexandria Enclave and Commodore Pei's retaliatory attack on Langhorn and Bedard, there'd been no temple. Merlin had come to suspect that Langhorn and Bedard had seen the site of their headquarters as something along the lines of a barely accessible Mount Olympus, somewhere beyond the normal reach of mere mortals, yet with sufficient proximity to those mortals' world to provide a sense of archangels hovering permanently just over the horizon. The climate wouldn't have been a problem for them, after all, and the fabulous palaces of the archangels would have helped bolster the command crew's divine status for any colonists who did visit here. He had no proof of that, of course. On the other hand, a couple of references in Commodore Pei's download had hinted at that sort of thinking, and it was entirely probable that Chihiro and Schuller, who'd apparently emerged as the Archangel's leaders after Commodore Pei's vest pocket nuke destroyed the original HQ, had followed the same line of thought. And it was also distinctly probable that they'd deliberately rebuilt on the same spot to emphasize the victory of the powers of light over Shan Wei's dark legions from hell as well. Just as they'd built the entire temple as a tangible reminder of the Archangel's power. It would have made sense, in a way, Merlin thought again, watching snowflakes dance on the sharp-edged, steadily rising wind. After so many of Langhorn's people went up in the Commodore's fireball, they'd need something to remind the colonists the Archangels had won after all. might have been a bit hard to convince everyone of that, given the casualties they'd taken, without something pretty drastic to drive the point home. Whatever the logic behind it, it was a thoroughly miserable place to put the planet Safehold's biggest city, in the winter at least. In the summer, it was quite a different matter. On the other hand, summer in Zion was a fleeting experience, one that wouldn't be around again for quite some time, which had unfortunate implications for Abraham's immediate future plans. As he told Michael Stainer, he'd kept a surreptitious eye on Angelic Panda ever since Adarai Dinis's astounding revelations had suggested just how much more Angelic was than Merlin had originally assumed. He'd taken extraordinary precautions, using remotes that recorded their data and were then physically retrieved, rather than transmitting, however stealthily, to his orbital communications arrays. That had bottlenecked his surveillance badly, but it had also provided an additional level of security, which, given those power sources under the temple, had seemed highly advisable. It had also, unfortunately, made it impossible for him, or Owl, to reposition those remotes on the fly the way they could elsewhere. In Zion, he couldn't move his pickups to independently track individuals the way he could anywhere else on the planet, which meant he had far less complete information than he could wish he had. Despite that, however, he'd realized over the last 5 days that Angelic had been at her dangerous game even longer than he'd assumed after Adarai's revelations. In fact, he'd come to the conclusion that Angelic had probably contacted Samuel Wilson, rather than the reverse. Merlin had resisted that possibility when he first became aware of it. Not because of any doubts about Angelic's capabilities, but because she'd obviously been only the communications relay for Wilson's organization. Given what Merlin had seen of young Pater Wilson in Karis, and what he'd been able to glean from what his Telesburg remotes had been able to examine, once Stainer had agreed to permit it, of the documents Adarai had delivered to the Archbishop, it was apparent that the Wilson family's involvement in efforts to reform the vicarate had been a multi-generational affair. On that basis, it had been obvious Samuel must have recruited Angelic. "But that isn't what happened at all," he mused. "Unless I'm mistaken, what really happened is that Angelic became aware of his organization and put herself at his service to manage his communications. But she had her own organization already up and running before she ever contacted him, and she never combined the two. That's why she was able to get Adarai and her boys out of the temple lands so smoothly. And it's how she managed to disappear Lisbeth Wilson and the others.